This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Luka one-on-one against Max Christie, driving toward the bucket. Luka got there, throws up a reverse. Good, and he's got 40. 40 points for Luka Doncic in his return to Dallas.
Welcome in, Maggie and Perloff show. Maggie is out today. EJ Stewart is in the big chair, and I think I heard it there, EJ, in the background. Yeah, it was cheering. I can't remember a situation where a home crowd was cheering against their own team for a star who left. It was a Luka party last night in Dallas. The fans were all about Luka Doncic. You know, in Philly, they would have booed him every time he touched the ball. Instead, they cheered him every time he touched the ball, and he just went off against the Lakers. 45 points, seemed to do whatever he wanted. Lakers win, a key game for them because they're trying to get up in the Western Conference seeding, 112-97. Do you remember a situation like this, EJ, where the home crowd does not care about their own team and just rooting for their former star?
I can't think of one. Maybe there was a player who maybe at the end of his career, you know, Klay Thompson, I think when he went back to Golden State, they wore all the Captain Klay hats and there was a lot of, you know, cheering for him. But I didn't, there was not the vitriol for the Warriors during that game where you're chanting, fire the general manager, you know, Mike Dunleavy. Yeah. They weren't doing that. You know, they were just cheering Klay, but then they were very, of course, cheering for the Warriors. This was different. This was, I am cheering Luka Doncic, and I'm booing Fire Nico, or that's bound to be his name, Nico Harrison. We're chanting Fire Nico, and we're going to be very negative in that aspect of it. It was a very, very bizarre situation, and it's one that I think we'll never forget. I also, to me, Pearl, I've never seen a player get traded, especially in the prime of their career, and be so emotional in a tribute. Like, Luka, he was crying on the court. He scored a bucket, and he was still in tears.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you smoke all that hookah and drink all that beer, as the Mavericks claim Luka did, you tend to be an emotional guy. The announcer said JJ Redick was crying, too. I was surprised by that. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Everybody seemed to be into it, and the Mavericks defense seemed to be into it, too. They kind of laid out the red carpet for Luka from the opening tip. So I can't remember a trade, not only this bad. I mean, we could talk about that. We'll get into the history of bad trades later in the show. But I can't remember a trade that we knew the verdict so fast. The Fire Nico chants, the Mavericks GM, are so obvious. I mean, we're a month and a half past this thing, and it's already done. There's no debate. We, you know, usually these things play out over a course of time. Is there any chance that the Mavericks didn't get all-time fleeced here?
Well, that chance went out the window when Kyrie Irving got hurt, I think. Because I think that was the mantra that was coming from Dallas. It's like, well, we're still in a win-now mode because we have Anthony Davis, who's a champion, and Kyrie Irving, who was playing great this year and has been a model citizen, so to speak, with the Dallas Mavericks, and, you know, is also a champion. So we think, well, forget about Luka Doncic. A Kyrie-Anthony Davis combo, in theory, also is a title-contending team. Once he tore his ACL, that went out the window. And now you're looking at a Kyrie Irving who's an advanced age, who's not going to have to come back from that injury. And Anthony Davis, who's already been battling injuries all of this season, he, to me, last night, he didn't look spry or right at all. Like there is no good side to this for the Dallas Mavericks. There's no way to spin it. There's no way to frame it in any way to say maybe this will be okay. This is a nightmare.
Yeah, I still don't understand. I mean, we've gotten nowhere in this discussion. I guess I understand saving money because they didn't want to pay Luka, and you get into a sort of luxury tax situation. But what do you want to be as a team? Are you fully going to tank? I don't think you're bad enough to be a number one pick kind of team, but you're not good enough to even be a factor in the loaded Western Conference.
Which is why I think the conversation then shifts to what does it mean for Luka Doncic being on this Laker team in his future? Because the bet the Dallas Mavericks made was not just that maybe we could salvage something with Kyrie and Anthony Davis. It was also that Luka Doncic and what he is as a player, what he is as a leader, what he is in terms of his work ethic, that those things would fail and you would never win a title with that guy. So that becomes the question is, can Luka, in these years with the Lakers, win a championship? Because that's the only thing that Dallas will be able to hold their hand on. There's nothing that's going to happen in Dallas that's going to justify this. But they can maybe point to what's going to happen in LA and say, ha, see, second year he got hurt, or third year he was fat, or whatever. And that's going to be the conversation moving forward.
Well, Luka, who's 26, already looks like he lost 15 pounds and is the best shape of his life. I mean, he looked svelte last night. You know what happens when you get to L.A. You visited L.A. Mm-hmm. You just get into the fitness culture immediately. You can't help it. Everyone is tan and fit. I think that happened to him, and I think that's going to happen to him. So the Mavericks betting against him being in shape, I think that is going to fail. I think he's going to be in good shape in L.A. Now, listen, you and I have had many, many arguments about Luka's style.
Including to me, 10 minutes ago.
He's James Harden 2.0. lot of hot and cold three-point shooting. For example, last year in the playoffs, somehow he got that Mavericks team on his back to the finals, but then he couldn't hit a three against the Celtics, who, because they have five wing defenders and they don't idiotically put a 7-footer out there on him who he's going to take to school every time. I don't understand the NBA, why you let their big man switch onto the guard. It drives me nuts. It's lazy, lazy basketball. But the Celtics did not do that, and they shut Luka down from the outside. Now, he took 50 shots a game, so he scored some points. But the Mavericks weren't even competitive in that series. I kind of actually agree with one of the parts of the trade is the Mavericks thought that Luka was not going to win a title there. I agree with that. I don't think they were anywhere close as a franchise.
But you say anywhere close, but this is a guy who came to a team that was one of the worst teams in the NBA, turned them around immediately, took them to the conference finals in what, his third year, got them to the NBA Finals in his fifth year. Like, that's a guy who, in any other profile, we would say that guy's probably a future champion. We wouldn't look at a guy who had that much early success, early team success, and also, by the way, has been a playoff killer. Like, this is not a guy, you keep saying James Harden. He is not James Harden. James Harden goes into the playoffs and he plays worse. His stats in terms of his efficiency, everything, it all goes down.
James Harden's okay in the first four games of a series. Like, remember a couple series? He had two 40-point games for the Sixers in his last playoff game. He almost would go off. Yeah, so will Luka.
Absolutely. He almost saved that series for Philly. But Luka doesn't have those, you know, 4-for-18s in the end of the playoffs where he's embarrassing himself the way James Harden's at. James Harden's had games where he's been in single digits in big games. So when you make this James Harden comparison, I disagree with it because we could talk about their style of play, but it's also what's up here. I'm talking about the mind when I'm pointing to my head, and in here when I'm talking about the chest, your heart. And Luka Doncic is a guy, to me, in terms of basketball integrity, in terms of what I think he is as a player in clutch moments, I would take him over most of the guys in the NBA.
The last three games of the finals, Luka shot 1-for-7 from 3, 0-for-8 from 3, and 2-for-9 from 3. That's 3-for-24.
Right, but what was his overall number? Because you're cherry-picking his numbers.
His numbers were 28 points, 29 points, and 27 points.
Okay, exactly.
He shot 30 times a game. James Harden. Harden 3-point. You're not going to win when your guy is shooting 1-for-8 every night from 3-pointer. The guy who has that's my point. He's so hot and cold. Last night he was hot because the defense was lame.
No, he was fired up.
But you don't think he could go 0-for-10 on any given night from three?
We can't do this with the whole where I'm pointing to only Luka Doncic and say that was the reason why Dallas lost. They lost because of his defense, okay? Kyrie Irving was a disaster. He gave him no help. Because Jason Tatum had similar shooting numbers, and the Celtics won. You know why? Because he had help around him. Because he had a better team around him. So we can't do that. Well, he had these three games where he struggled. Luka Doncic, for the majority of his playoff career, has been a much, much better player than James Harden. You have to agree with that. The stats show it out. There's no argument about that.
I mean, actually, the funny thing is I think you're denigrating Harden a little bit. Because Harden, that run with the Rockets where they lost to the Warriors, he had some big games, too. But Yeah, Luka's definitely better. He's a fancy Harden. He's better than Harden. Now, you say every great star is going to win because the modern era of NBA, there are no dynasties. And, you know, Giannis won, Joker won. You know, 15 years ago, you would look at KD. Like, KD wasn't going to win in Oklahoma City. You know, there are just certain situations. So maybe Luka is like that. He had to get out of Dallas to win the title. But my question, in L.A., if they don't win this year with LeBron, who is he going to have around him? Who's his 1B? Who's his wingman? Who's his Scottie Pippen moving forward?
I mean, that to me with the Lakers, it could be anybody because the Lakers, unfortunately, for other NBA fan bases, they're the team that just finds stars. They seem to just fall out of those palm trees in California.
Yeah. Right?
Like, it's the Lakers always find a way, and that sounds very unscientific and very unintelligent for a radio show. But to be honest, like, LeBron James is going to have 50-plus, 60-plus million dollars coming off their cap whenever he retires, so that's a lot of money to play with. Austin Reeves, by the way, is becoming a baller. I mean, this guy who I loved come in that draft, I don't know how he went undrafted. He's been a great player for the Lakers. I don't know if he's a number two, but he definitely could be a third wing in a big three kind of situation. So the Lakers are not starting at zero. The Lakers have a pretty decent base already. They're just only a couple pieces away.
Once LeBron leaves, Austin Reeves, it's not zero, but it, you know, they clearly
have you watched Austin Reeves play this year?
Yeah, but they need their Shaq, or they need their Will Chamberlain, or they need Giannis to come to the Lakers.
But when have they not found that guy?
They'll find that guy. But I'm telling you, Austin Reeves ain't that guy. I mean,
well, I said he could be a third option.
Yeah, but then it doesn't really matter because so they're going to get a guy like Giannis or a guy like Embiid or somebody who is injured somewhere and come there, or Pau Gasol. He's going to need that guy. I don't think it's a given that he gets that guy. It might be, if you look at the next 5 years in the West, it's brutal. He's going to have to deal with the Thunder. He's going to have to
Who eliminated last year.
He's going to have, yeah, I know, but that team's on the way up.
Yeah, sure. But I'm just saying, the teams you're going to name are the teams that he's already put out to pasture. Okay, He's not going to look at the Thunder. He's not going to look at the T-Wolves and say, oh, man, I got no chance against these guys. He's going to look at them and say,
chance, but there's going to be a lot of competition. I mean, I think the Rockets are going to get really good soon. Once our man Thompson figures out offense, you get, obviously, Joker's floating around. Ja Morant might figure it out someday. There's a lot of Anthony Edwards might figure it out someday. So all... I'm just saying it's not a given that he wins in L.A. because if LeBron goes away in 2 years, then they're going to have to rebuild a little bit. Like, it's not like you just can't bring in someone right now when LeBron's there. Next year, LeBron does what, one more year?
I think he does one more year.
Right. So you might not get that guy next year. And LeBron is awesome as he was. How many did he have in the fourth quarter last night?
He was incredible.
He was incredible. But at a certain point, he is human. This has got to slow down a little bit.
We keep saying that, but then I keep
could,
seeing him
could be
score
wrong
15
about that.
Points in the fourth quarter and score 11 straight points.
Let's hear from Mavs coach Jason Kidd. Now, this really caught my ear. This was before the game. He made a comparison, and I'm not 100% sure he knew what he was talking about.
This is a business. It happens, right? Trades happen. This won't be the last trade. Someone compared it to Babe Ruth, which is kind of cool.
Now, why is that cool if you're Jason Kidd? Because you're the Red Sox. The Red Sox who traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees and didn't win a World Series for 100 years. So does that mean the Dallas Mavericks are not going to win an NBA title for 100 years?
Yeah, I don't think he knew exactly what he was doing there, Pearl. And I think I don't know if you listened to a lot of Jason Kidd press conferences since all this happened. I mean, he seems like to be an autopilot. And I know you were critical of how he coached that game last night. Maybe he was an autopilot last night. I think he's been in a fog. I mean, he's a guy who is... taking Luka Doncic.
Since the Doncic trade?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think he's a guy who, you know, he kind of developed this new era Dallas Mavericks team post Rick Carlisle into a team that had an identity. It was, you know, we can argue whether or not that was a winning championship identity, but they were all Luka Doncic, and they were like, let's put as much defenders around him and play team ball around him. And it was a good thing. Like, you know, I feel like the guy from Breaking Bad, we had a good thing going and you screwed it up, Nico. That's probably how Jason Kidd feels, right? Like, so I think with him, that comment was crazy. I saw that quote. I didn't see the video at first. I saw the quote and I said, this can't be real. This has to be like, you know, BS sports or, you know, NBA Central. This can't be real because he's saying that, you know, we're about to see the curse of the Luke Bino.
So it's funny.
The curse of the Bambi.
It felt like... The crowd was in on Luka Doncic. Kind of felt like the Mavs were in on Luka Doncic. Almost like they wanted to high-five him after he was draining three-pointer after three-pointer. I think last night was a weird night. It was emotional. Actually, the Mavs showed a lot of fight for a team that's clearly faltering. But they go away. I'm trying to think about this, EJ. I think I'm ready to call this. This is a lot. The worst trade in NBA history. I think we're getting close really, really soon, which is insane because it just happened. But I'm looking at a list of the worst trades in NBA history. Bucks trade Kareem to the Lakers. Obviously, we know what happened there. The Warriors trade Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish to the Celtics.
That was
bad.
Unbearable.
And a lot of them, but here's the situation. A lot of them, like Kareem wanted out of Milwaukee. I don't know all the details.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic did not want out of Dallas.
Right.
So this, in a way, is worse because there was no pressure to get him out of there. You know, Shaq wanted out of Orlando. I don't remember if that was free agency. That was free agency. But, a lot of times a star wants out. Luka was fine in Dallas. It didn't seem... And you saw it last night. He was so emotional.
He looked like he wanted to still be there. Like, you see, he looked like a guy that he wished that he was still playing for.
So I think that makes this the worst trade in NBA history. A month in, that's incredible. And my wildest dreams around the trade deadline, this happened the Saturday night before the Thursday trade deadline, I could not have imagined that we were about to see the worst move in NBA history, but we might be there. I want to hear from you. Give me your worst trade ever in NBA, in MLB. Is it the curse of the Bambino? Every team has their trade that they remember. I have a bunch with Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
I could detail for you the day they traded Moses Malone for Jeff Ruland. It was a gut punch. Jeff Ruland of Iona.
Exactly. Oh, I'm familiar with Iona.
Yeah, Jeff Ruland, big man, was on Washington. We're like, let's give away Moses Malone for Jeff Ruland. A lot of upside there. And then the Phillies, of course, traded Ryan Sandberg for Yvonne De Jesus, who had lied about his age. Long story. Everybody could do this with their own team. I want to hear from you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. What is the trade that sticks with you that just kills you? And do you think the Luka trade is the worst trade ever? If we put that poll up right now, EJ, how would you answer? Is Luka Doncic going from the Mavericks to the Lakers the worst trade in NBA history? Yes or no?
Right now, I'm leaning yes.
Is that amazing? Is this hyperbole?
I don't think it's hyperbole because you just don't trade young superstar players in the prime of their career for older, injury-prone superstar.
Oh, really?
Guys. You just would never do that. There's no explanation for it. There's none.
Some people would do it, apparently, because it just happened. You're right. So give us a call again, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The worst trade in your life, the trade that just killed you when it came through. Maybe you were a little kid and you cried to dad, why? Why are we giving my star away? Happened to me. It probably happened to you. But next, speaking of making a fan base cry, let's talk a little Aaron Rodgers. What's going on with Pittsburgh? I thought last night would be the night. It wasn't. That's coming up next. Maggie and Perloff Show. Back on Maggie and Perloff. Maggie is out on some well-deserved vacation. She did not tell Manny where she is going. That is causing a lot of controversy in the office. EJ vaguely knows what part of the world. I know exactly where. I will never tell. Maggie made me sign a NDA.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. she just doesn't want Manny to bother her, which makes sense. I accidentally tweeted her a clip last night, a highlight of something. I felt so bad.
You did, yeah.
Because on your phone, Manny, who is producing today with EJ sitting in as co-host, Manny, Maggie, it's almost the same thing.
So I've had that same issue, but with you and Bogish. Because I have the Andrews.
Yep.
And it shows up as Andrews. So I texted both of you guys multiple times and texted the wrong person.
Yeah, so Maggie will be back soon. Let's not bother her. The question today is, are we ready to say the Luka Doncic trade is the worst trade in NBA history? I know that sounds like modern media overhyping. I don't like when people say this is the best or this is the worst, but I already think that we are maybe headed in that direction. And sure seems like they felt that in Dallas last night because they didn't even pretend to root for the Mavericks. They were all about Luka. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's start with Michael in Kentucky. Is the Luka trade one of the worst ever, or is it too soon to see? Michael,
okay, one of the worst ever. Yeah, it's got potential to be top five, you know, worst ever, but we've not really got to see a healthy Davis and Kyrie play to their potential together. Mm. But we see what Luke is doing with L.A. Got him, top three spot with LeBron. That's, you know, kind of fading out. But It definitely has potential to be up there, but you're talking about the Bambino trade. That's kind of that's epic.
So, Mike, are you from Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
This, to me, feels like we're talking about Sam Bowie going number two over Michael Jordan. It's like the greatest mistakes in the NBA. I don't know if you remember Sam Bowie, but are you ready to put it in that conversation?
It's definitely around that, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, yeah. Thank you, Michael. I agree. We are headed that. I do not buy that Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis are going to be able to rectify this team because they're just old.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Is if those guys weren't so old, I'd say maybe. But we've already got one guy who has a serious injury. We don't know if he's ever going to be the same. And Anthony Davis has already been battling injuries, and he's at an advanced age. So the window Dallas has to make this right is small. If they don't win a title or compete at a high level in the next 2 years, it's already a terrible trade. They can't win.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they were healthy and at their peak, Kyrie and Anthony Davis are amazing, but I don't think we'll see that. Let's go to Bishop in Dallas. Bishop, how do you feel right now about the Luka trade?
Okay, I'm here in Dallas, and you guys definitely have reached you guys. I understand that Kareem didn't want to be with Milwaukee or whatever, but you're comparing, you know, apples to grapefruits in this case. That was the worst trade ever in terms of what they got back. In terms of what Kareem did throughout his career. Okay. And when one of you guys alluded to it, he is James Harden pretty much 2.0. Playoff, you know, being the exception. He plays no defense. So if he goes out and scores 40 points tonight and gives up, you know, and gives up 30, that's an offset. And, you know, I hear we have one guy here talking about Luka's integrity. They gave him a chance every season to come in shape. He did a Shaq. He wants to come in, overweight, and play himself into shape, drink beer, smoke cigarettes throughout. And also, do you think the general manager was able to just get rid of Luka without the blessings of the owner? He's been thrown under the bus, but, you know, there's more to it than what you guys are seeing from the outside.
Bishop, I would blame the owner, too. Like, I have no issue saying that the ownership also has been a disaster because at the end of the day, you're talking about what you got back. But what you got back, you haven't been able to be even see in full form because he's been hurt, and that's been his issue for most of his career. This is not going to get better for Anthony Davis.
Well, exactly. But what I'm saying is, you know, you guys are definitely overhyping Luka. Luka, no one outside of Kyrie who didn't have a second option, no other superstar is going to want to play with Luka. He's ball dominant. He's going to shoot the ball 30, 40 times a game. He rarely gets his teammates involved until he, you know, passes the ball the last 2 seconds of the shot clock. So you that guys, I love Luka. He's a great offensive player. And offensive, you know, that's it. He doesn't do anything else. He doesn't attempt to play defense at all. And you guys are hyping him up here as if, you know, he's the second coming. And he's not. Don't get me wrong. He's great entertainment. He's exciting. You know, he shoots the ball from half court. He does all the other stuff. But he has no integrity because if he did, he would you know, take it upon himself to be in shape. You know, so please miss me with that because of how much integrity he has when a guy never wants to take the intestinal fortitude upon himself to be a dominant player, try to play defense, and come in shape. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Bishop. I needed you this morning when I was arguing with EJ about the similarities between Luka Doncic and James Harden. The style to me is I've seen James Harden dribble till there's 5 seconds left on the 24-second clock many, many times with no motion happening in the offense. That seemed to happen a lot with Luka. And then what happens when you're playing a superb playoff team, they're going to come after you in the last 10 seconds of that shot clock and your three-pointers are going to be tougher. It happens to Harden all the time. And I think it could happen to Luka. I think Luka's style has to change a little bit. When I say ball dominant, he kills the 24-second clock. Him and Harden will do that. Yeah. And he's not great on defense. So
no,
I forgot about that.
Right, he's not a great defender, and the stuff about coming in shape is a fair point from Bishop. But what we got to understand is this guy is 26 years old. We're not talking about a guy who is 30, 31. He's a young player who's had a lot of success. Guys have to learn what it takes to be a champion. Yep. And it's different things for different people.
Yeah.
With Shaq, it was getting in shape. With Michael Jordan, it was learning to trust his teammates. With Kobe Bryant, it was learning to trust his teammates. Like, guys aren't coming to the NBA in their ready-made products. I don't think Luka Doncic, for the rest of his career, is going to be an out-of-shape loser for the rest of his life. I don't buy that.
But, yeah, he's in good shape right now. He looked pretty thin last night.
And when I talk about basketball integrity, when I talk about what I'm talking about, I'm saying that when the chips are on the line and you're playing must-win games or you're in clutch situations, who would I want on my team? I've seen Luka Doncic go up against teams that are better than his team, have more talent, and rip their heart out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I've not seen James Harden do that.
And who is the team that You know, he beat the T-Wolves in the Western Conference.
T-Wolves had more talent than him.
Yeah, but that was one of the worst Western Conference finals. They weren't ready to be there. They just sort of found themselves in the Western Conference finals last year.
What? They were the number two seed. They had the second best record in the NBA. They almost had the best record.
Did you think the T-Wolves were going to be in the Western? Oh, get out of here. You said that the Minnesota Timberwolves last year, that was a shock. You thought they were going to beat the Nuggets?
All year last year before the show.
You thought they were going to beat the Nuggets?
I did not. No, I didn't have them picking that series. But we talked all year about what the T-Wolves can do. I said they could definitely go to the conference finals. And like, you're acting like the T-Wolves were some little sisters of the poor, okay? They had one of the best players in the NBA, Anthony Edwards. Karl-Anthony Towns was a
very
star,
young.
And they had the defensive player of the year. They were not some little sisters of the poor. What are we talking about?
Everyone knows Rudy Gobert is wildly overrated. Nobody thinks Cat can play defense.
They were the number one defensive team in the NBA last year.
Yeah, in the regular season.
And Luka Doncic went demolition derby on them.
Yeah, those tall stiffs. Get him off the court.
And then he beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, the number one seed in the West last year. These are the two teams you keep saying, well, if Luka's going to win the Lakers, he's going to have to go through these teams. Well, then I'm telling you,
but those teams are young. Those teams are going to get way better. And wait to see my Spurs, what they do, too. By the way, the guy who comps best to Luka is Larry Bird, in my opinion. I know that's white on white, whatever. But you can see there was a move last night that was reincarnated Larry Bird. Larry Bird was ready to go from day one, and he never lifted a weight, just like Luka doesn't seem to lift a weight. So there's a slight difference. There just seems to be more of an all-around game with the superstars. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be LeBron. He'll never be LeBron. But some of those superstars, the 6'8 guys, can do more. Even Harden was nasty on defense at times, believe it or not. Like, his hands were crazy. Luka does have to develop other parts of his game. He's got to share the ball more. He's got to move more. I think, he probably will. He's 26.
I
agree. JJ Redick looks like a good coach, despite some of my issues with his podcasting. But so I think you're right. He's 26 and he could develop. But I don't necessarily agree. Some guys came more fully formed as all around players. That's what annoys Dallas people. That's what Bishop was talking about. Let's go to Chris in Dallas. Chris, I want to hear. Do you think the Luka Doncic trade was the worst trade in NBA history?
Man, it's going to be up there. I mean, he's a bona fide superstar. I just think that the problem is they just didn't like him. They keep bringing up Kobe, and he didn't have the Kobe mentality. Like, no one is going to have that kind of mentality. So, and then we already seen that Anthony Davis, before he went to L.A. in New Orleans, what did he do? He didn't do nothing. So, Nico Harris totally overthought it, looked at the Boston Celtics and said, hey, Al Horford will beat us. But, yeah, we had a rookie in Lively. Gafford just got there last year, and he sat there and literally thought, oh, the way to beat the Celtics is bring in AD. Like, it's just overthinking. It's like too smart for your own good.
Thank you.
Probably worse for them.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You look at the Mavs, you're right. Obviously, the big men are just there. They look good. Lively looked great last night, but he's not healthy a lot.
Yeah.
There's just so many issues. If I'm a Mavericks fan, I probably would have cheered for Luka last night, too. They're not really giving me any hope.
No, this is Dallas. Again, it's hard to really see it, right? Again, if Kyrie was healthy, that's one thing. But I think the reason why I disliked this trade so much was it required the Mavericks to require everything to go right for them to get this to work, because it requires two guys who have injury issues, who are at an advanced age, to stay healthy. And then you have to assume they actually have chemistry. We don't even know if Kyrie and Anthony Davis would have been a great pair. There's a great chance it could have been, but we don't even know. So you're like rolling the dice. You have a homegrown guy that you drafted. I know technically it was a trade during with the Hawks, but whatever. You drafted Luka Doncic. You've developed him to this point. And to give up on that for the hope that you have a 1 year, 2 year window with two guys that are injury prone, it's just silly to me.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Dallas fans totally agree. I want to do one more bad trade before we get to updates in 1 second. Kenny in Louisville, you're talking about a trade that is close to the heart of several people on the show. Hit us with your bad trade.
Well, it's close to my heart as well. The Luka trade very well might go down as the worst trade of all time. But if I had to guess one that could we compare to that, I'd have to say Melo leaving Denver, going to New York. As a New York fan, I loved it in the moment until I stopped and thought, this guy wants to play in New York. They could spin the whole Denver with saying, well, Chicago was a quick 1A. He was thinking about going there too. It doesn't matter, dude. Everybody knew where Melo was going to end up playing eventually. They had the money for him in the offseason. Then they could have kept those picks. They could have moved other people around. Instead of being a second-round exit or a semifinal exit, they could have maybe actually threw a finals team together with Amare, with Melo, but they had to wait. So
until the end of the season.
Wait, so who is the bad trade? Well, I'm a little confused.
Well, the Knicks, he's saying.
Oh, the Knicks.
Yeah. Oh, because the Knicks should have waited on Melo.
100%.
Yeah, and give away all those picks and those players. I see what you agree, EJ?
Yeah, Kenny's spitting fire. There's no lies here. I mean, this is one of the things that I think Knicks fans have a trouble with in terms of talking about Melo, because he did come here. He was a good leader. He was good with the fans. And thank you, Kenny, for the phone call. But the problem was that he really forced the Knicks to trade him before the CBA expired, and the CBA rules were going to change everything. He would have lost some money had he waited for free agency by threatening to go to the Brooklyn Nets, or that time New Jersey Nets. He forced the Knicks to give up valuable assets that they then could have used to help the team around him. He wanted to go to New York right now and get all his money, and he ended up screwing himself because the Knicks would have had, they were in a position to really build maybe a championship caliber team had he just waited a couple months.
Andrew Bogus is here with updates. Bogus, I have a question. Is there any doubt in your mind that a young EJ Stewart said, I guarantee Carmelo Anthony's going to win a title in New York? Is there even like a slight doubt in your mind?
I would have thought it'd be like LeBron counting to 18 in Miami.
Yes, because EJ, God bless him, thinks that every single superstar in the NBA, I think you have 9 teams that you consider contenders right now, maybe 14. You're like, oh, don't count them out. Don't count them out. Don't count them out.
The Pistons could do it if they were not playing the Knicks in round one.
Yes.
We should rank them. You want to know my championship teams?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Okay, so let's go in the East. Boston and Cleveland, only teams I would consider title contenders. Right. In the West, I think you're going Lakers, Thunder.
Yep.
Rockets?
No. I'm going to say Warriors. I've been bashing the Warriors for a long time, but I'm going to say Warriors.
Just a little bookkeeping here. That means if any of those 5 teams win, EJ will take full credit and said, I told you so.
Not necessarily. I'll just say that they were a team.
Just told me you saw the T-Wolves coming last year.
And the Clippers, sorry. They'll be the other team.
Yeah, okay. You just saw, you will definitely say, I saw the Rockets going to the conference finals.
But I'm telling you, my pick is the Celtics, which I told you yesterday.
Oh, okay, over the Thunder.
Yes.
Who's your pick in the West?
The Thunder coming out of the West.
Okay.
And then the Celtics beating the Thunder.
All right. I think we have to pin you to one team. And no, I'm giving you a hard
time.
Says
you?
He's the one to talk, right?
Talks so much trash about these NBA teams, especially. And by the way, you notice he didn't say it's New York Knicks.
I know. I'm trying to see if Manny's okay over there.
I'll be honest, I was cutting things up and I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, he said the Knicks can't win a title.
I agree. Didn't we say this in January?
What kind of fans are you guys?
What kind of fans are we? At least we haven't jumped ship.
They're so warped in what we actually think about the Knicks. Because to answer your original question, I was furious that the Knicks traded Gallinari, Chandler, and all those picks for Melo. I was like, why wouldn't Melo wait? And I told you before the show, I was a huge Melo fan. So you actually got it totally wrong.
One
of those people. And I had to actually argue, and I still argue to this day with people who work here, that the Knicks screwed up that thing. So that's not true.
I remember I was here last year. Bogues, you weren't this way, and the Mets were struggling early in the season, and Pete Bilotti, who used to be on our show, said, oh, it's over in May.
I did too.
Yeah, and I was like, guys, it's May. What are you doing? New York fans are the most irrational group of people I've ever met in my life, and I come from Philly. All right, Bogues, let's get to some headlines.
Those headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So the Luka trade will always be the divorce of this NBA season. Otherwise, it would have been the Nuggets firing Michael Malone in the final days of this regular season. Game one since that stunner last night in Sacramento.
Christian Brown has it on the high left side. Slip pick by Jokic. Brown to the lane. Kick out Pickett for the win. Yes! Denver leads it 120-108 with 1:14 to go. David Adelman will go to 1-0 in his coaching career. And this thing is over.
Jason Kosminski saying goodbye on Nuggets Radio. Denver, a 124-116 victory over the Kings. Nikola Jokic with 20 points, 12 boards, 11 assists for his 32nd triple-double of the season. Here is interim coach David Adelman from pregame.
We are in the mix here. I think people forget that. Like, they keep thinking that we didn't make the playoffs or whatever. We still have a great chance to do something special. We talked about that. The guys seem convinced.
The win gets the Nuggets to 4th in the West, winning a tie with the Clippers, who extended their win streak to 6 last night, 134-117 over the Rockets, who were resting most of their regulars after securing the second seed. The Suns securing nothing, eliminated from play-in contention with their eighth consecutive defeat, 125-112 to the Thunder, who gave SGA, Lu Dort, and Isaiah Hartenstein the night off, and again, still won by 13 in Phoenix. The only good Phillies wins are the ones against the Braves.
Here's the pitch to Turner, and he swings and drives one high in the air, deep left field. Eli White going back to the track at the wall. He jumps. He can't get it. It's gone, and Turner has taken Iglesias deep here in the ninth inning. Phillies are back in front on the solo shot by Trey Turner, his first of the year. And what a time for it. It's 4-3 Phillies.
And that was the final in Atlanta. Scott Fransky calling the ninth inning tiebreaker on Phil's radio. The Braves are now 2-9.
That's not good.
So, Bogues, I got a home run. And we're doing a home run derby here at the Maggie and Perloff show. We all picked three sluggers early in the season, and I picked Harper, and I got a Harper one last night. Have you guys been following how your team is doing? I think I might be the only one who's tracking it.
I don't remember who's on my team.
Attaboy, Bogey.
Come on, Bogues.
Yeah.
That's so weak, dude. This is so much fun. Get in there. My guy, Marcelo Zuna, has not woken up yet. I'm a little worried about him. Yeah. But Bryce Harper and Schwarber are killing it, so I'm in the mix. Who's got Aaron Judge? Do you have him, EJ?
That'll be me. Thank you, Manny, for that.
Whatever, dog. Again, I misunderstood the assignment. I digress.
I've got Ohtani. That's all I remember. Okay. Thanks to Manny's whatever.
Ohtani just missed one the other night. So I'm really into this because Ohtani hit the wall with a shot. I'm like, oh, somebody just lost a homer on that one. all right, what else you got?
The Rays snapped their five-game skid 5-4 over the Angels, and the Brewers steamrolled the Rockies at Coors Field 17-2. Jackson Churio, a homer and five RBI. Milwaukee has won 7 of 8 after an 0-4 start. And Messi scored to begin an Inter-Miami comeback last night. They beat LAFC 3-1 to advance to the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals 3-2 on aggregate. Perloff, you know what that means?
I feel like I've heard that word, and it sounds familiar, but in this context, nope.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Damn.
I thought you would know.
I was only half listening to it, but you said CONCACAF.
Oh, don't worry.
Did you say the word CONCACAF and my mind went totally blank?
Yeah, no, you're good. Manny, back to you.
Yeah, all right.
EJ, somebody take it. Botcher, anybody want this?
I mean, come on. You can't expect me to listen to soccer updates. What are we doing here?
No, it's fine.
Listen, soccer.
Barcelona played yesterday.
Nobody in the world likes soccer.
Okay, all right. Let's throw it a break.
Soccer is our future overlords, man. We're gonna be talking soccer a lot in the next 20 years, probably.
You're probably right. Okay.
World Cup is going to be here in like
that's true.
52 weeks.
Worst soccer trade of all time. Go.
They don't really do trades. They
yeah,
just
it's
buy
just like
players.
We're going to pay Cristiano Ronaldo $800 million.
Exactly.
Beckham transfer to Real Madrid.
Okay, let's get back to Luka, who's probably a bigger soccer fan than he is basketball fan. Worst trade ever. Are we ready to talk about the Luka Doncic to the Lakers trade in those terms? I know it sounds insane after a very short time, but after what you saw last night, the Mavs look dead and the Lakers look like a real contender. Give us a call, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And if you want to share your trade horror stories, we all have them. From when we were a kid, I have a billion of them. Please do. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Can't believe it. He was so young. How could this have happened?
Well, he'd been logging some pretty heavy hours. First one in the morning, last one to leave at night. That kid was a human dynamo.
Are you sure you're talking about George?
You are, Mr. and Mrs. Costanza.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? He had 30 home runs and over 100 RBIs last year. He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, Buhner was a good prospect, no question about it. But my baseball people love Ken Phelps' bat. They kept saying, Ken Phelps, Ken Phelps.
I'm not here. Leave a message. Jerry, it's Frank Costanza. Mr. Steinbrenner's here. George is dead. Call me back.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Of course, that's a clip. Maybe the best line in the history of Seinfeld when George's dad thinks that George died and George Steinbrenner comes to personally give condolences and he complains about the Jay Buhner trade.
That, I mean, it's very, very accurate for a New York description, right?
Yeah, no, I think every fan would think the same thing. Because I tell you, as a kid, I had certain trades that just killed me. The Sixers were really good. And then on the same day, listen to this. Mm. These names will probably mean nothing to you. But they traded Moses Malone, the great Moses Malone, for Jeff Ruland. And then they traded the number one overall pick for a guy named Roy Hinson.
Roy Hinson.
Roy Hinson, undrafted power forward out of Rutgers, or maybe a second-round pick, who did nothing.
Dylan Harper?
Got hurt immediately. They drafted Brad Daugherty, and the rest is history. So I think every franchise has that. We want to hear your franchise's worst trade ever, the trade that really sticks with you, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Because Dallas Mavericks coach Jason Kidd last night compared the Luka trade to the Babe Ruth trade when the Red Sox gave Babe Ruth to the Yankees and did win a World Series title forever, the curse of the Bambino. I don't know, Jason Kidd,
that was
maybe
he's
just being funny. That's incredible. But it doesn't feel out of place. It's been 2 months since the trade. Mm-hmm. And there is just not anything that is working out for Dallas here.
No, there's nothing it's all bad, as my favorite rapper Jid would say. There's nothing I can point to for Dallas and say, all right, there's something that could happen here that will work out. The only thing that they can hold on to is that, will Luka Doncic break down? Will he prove that he is not the kind of winner champion that Kobe Bryant was? Because that's what the reporting is, right? That Nico Harrison was mm-hmm. close to Kobe Bryant and watched Kobe Bryant's work ethic as a Nike executive, him watching Kobe, and thought, this guy ain't Kobe. So we got to figure out how to build this team around somebody else. He took that bet. The only saving grace they have is maybe he doesn't win a title. Now, I don't know why, if you wanted him not to succeed, why you send him to the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers seem to always find success. They find other stars out of trees. They find ways to get the big superstar coaches. Like, everything always seems to go well for them. So if you're banking on his failures, that was probably the wrong place to send him to. But that's all they got, is whether or not Luka will win, and I think he will. I've seen this pairing with him and LeBron James that I have said from early on, I was like, man, this is, they're cooking with gas here. This is a serious awesome pairing because in many ways they make up for each other's deficiencies. You saw it last night. Mm-hmm. Luka goes up to this rocket start where he has 31 in the first half. LeBron's able to kind of coast through the first half. Then in the fourth quarter, Luka may be a little tired, maybe kind of the weight of everything that was happening in the game kind of maybe came to him a little bit.
Yep.
And he started to kind of struggle a little bit. What happens? LeBron scores like 11 points in a row. He can just show that he's still got it at the end. And in many ways, the ways that Luka may not be so great, LeBron can help him. Where LeBron can't carry the load for 48 minutes, Luka can carry a lot of the load for most of the game.
Yeah, but that was against a Mavericks team who has... A, they came out with a lot of emotion last night, but they're mailing in the season.
Those guys are trying to make the playoffs. They're not trying to mail.
I mean, listen, like we're talking about Najee Marshall. We're not talking about a fully loaded Mavs team. We're talking about a sort of a backup Mavs team.
Sure, but I mean, but my point though is that the Mavs are not trying to tank. Like they made it clear that they're trying to make the playoffs.
But I'm saying
game for both teams.
That Luka LeBron combo looked great against Dallas. Is it going to look great for four rounds of the playoffs?
It looked great against the Thunder a couple of nights ago. It looked great. It looked great against the best teams in the NBA for most of the season. They looked great against the Knicks. Like I can point to a lot
but
of games.
That
they've been a good pairing.
They were going against, I would say, a mid to bad Mavericks team last night. So I mean. Yeah, the Mavs.
But they did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, they did. I'm just not ready to buy this. You're putting a lot of pressure on the Lakers to win it all this year, in a sense, because there's such a short time window where you could actually have Luka and LeBron. Maybe this year and next year. I know they've secured the number three seed basically because they have two winnable games. I think they have the Rockets, mm-hmm. who are done, and the Blazers. Done, they've already clinched the two spot. And the Blazers, so they'll probably end up with a number three seed. What if they get the Warriors in the first round? They'd have to go. I was looking at it. They'll get the Warriors, either the Rockets, Clippers, or T-Wolves in the second round, and then probably a Thunder waiting for them there. That's a lot of energy for Luka and LeBron to do this. It is. I think it's a tall mountain to climb. I'm not saying they can't do it. That'd be ridiculous. They have LeBron and Luka. But to keep that up, to win four games against all those teams, that's a hefty assignment, EJ.
Yeah, and J.J. Redick is a rookie coach, and that's a whole different variable that we'll have to see what that is. He could be great.
But you have LeBron. Doesn't LeBron make up for having a rookie coach, an older player?
Sure, because he did it with Tyronn Lue, right? And he did it with David Blatt. So maybe. That's fair. So to me, and matchups will be definitive or decisive with this too, right? Because right now they would play the Grizzlies if it was today. So if you're talking about a matchup with Lakers-Grizzlies, I would take the Lakers fairly easily in a series like that. Now, if it's the Warriors, it's a little dicey.
Yeah.
That's a war, I think, for seven games probably.
Yeah, the West is all tightly packed. You know who's a big player for the Lakers? They said this last night. Dorian Finney-Smith, who they traded for, outstanding wing defender, he was plus 29 to lead all players last night. That's the thing about the Lakers have quietly added defense. That makes them a little scary to me. They kind of make up for Luka, and LeBron picks and chooses his spots on defense. But again, this is the NBA regular season. There's a long, long way to go. And the funny thing is, the Nuggets, are they out of it now? They fired their coach.
They got one win.
Are they a threat if somehow they end up facing the Lakers?
I mean, I think when you look at both conferences, whether it's Nuggets or the Bucks in the East, I don't think anyone wants to see Giannis and Joker, regardless of how much of those teams may be in the tailspin. The Bucks playing a lot better. I think Jokic for 6 games, 7 games, however long it will be, is a load to handle. So I don't think you're inviting that matchup, but they're not necessarily a team that's united right now. So I think if you're going to beat a team like that, this is the year you're going to do it.
Absolutely. Okay. We have a lot of bad trades in the NFL and MLB to look back at as well. You know, to me, the NFL, there is one trade that stands out. It's historically, if you're thinking of bad NFL trades, you say this trade. I'll share that next. Also, there's a lot going on with Shedeur Sanders, EJ. A lot. It's amazing. There are 32 guys who are going in the first round, and it seems like the Colorado quarterback is the only one we're talking about. More news on that front and an interesting theory from an NFL insider. Next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget.
Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.